If you go through this life without a true friend, I pity you. Because there are going to be so many things you're going to miss out on if you don't have a true friend. And anyone who has at least one good friend, and I'm not talking about Jesus right now. I'm talking about humanity. I'm talking about your brothers and sisters. Because God have made us people who need one another. God have made us people who should live in a colony. God have made us people that is joined together, and God want us to be a family. But if you don't have a friend, when you go through something, you don't have nobody to share that with. See, when you have a friend and you go through bereavement, and that friend that you know got your back, that friend is close to you and intimate with you, it's something about that friend when they come and knock on your door, walk in your house, sit at your table with you, even if they don't say a word, their presence in your house, because they are your friend, has a way of rejuvenating you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, any subject matter that the Bible deems worthy to talk about or to speak about or to be put in these secret pages is worth us hearing. And God has a lot to say about friends. All through the Proverbs, the wisdom books, it's very important that we understand. You see, some of our ways and some of our actions and some of our failures and some of the crazy way we think, because some of us don't have a true friend. And you may think, well, I mean, I don't understand. What do you mean by that? Hopefully, as we look at the Word of God, you'll begin to understand how important it is to have a friend. And I'm just going to touch on the surface of this, and hopefully it will get your curiosity juices flowing, that you would do an in-depth study yourself to realize. Because see, some people got this thing, all I need is the Lord. No, you need everything the Lord say you need. If God say you need a human friend, you need a human friend. God, how many know God know what he's talking about? Stop that crazy, super spiritual stuff and let the Word of God dictate your life. If God got a subject about friends, I want to hear it. Pastor, you say, if God says something about it, I want to hear it. Even if I have been ignoring it, I want to hear it. You know, sometimes the way people carry themselves, sometimes, you know, they don't really have no good friends. Now, I'm not talking about no associates. I'm talking about a true friend, a good friend. You are better off when you got a friend. See, when you got a friend, they can enter in to some intimate areas of your life that nobody else can get in. See, we walk around with fences all around us. And many times we pretend and whatever. But a friend, a true friend, where everybody else got to come to a certain point and stop. And they see you got it. Your whole life is got it, protected, because nobody want to be hurt. But there's something about a friend that where everybody else got to stop, because you got your spear. That friend can walk right on in. Say, hey, look, you talking to me now. No. Don't care how you feel right now. I don't care how you want to talk to me right now. I'm not going nowhere. And let me tell you something. They can do that because it has been a friendship forged. You know, the word of God says, man, it's so much. I mean, I just can't touch it. But just studying this, I said, Lord, I can't get all of this. I just got to go back because it's just so much. As you know, God says, don't even forget your father's friends. Wait a minute, what that got to do with my friend? See, God realized if you have watched your father have a close friend, that individual have been tried, tested. And the Bible speaks about it. Why are you telling me about my father's friend? Because you should have had a chance to watch him. You had a chance to watch that friendship form. Even if you wondered about that friendship, you may not know the friend as well as you know the father. But if you know the father and he let someone in to that, to that wall that's built, it must be a friend. Y'all just got to pray for me because I know what I want to say, but I need the grace of God to how to deliver it, how to say it. But God speaks about it. In Proverbs 18:24, it says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who stick closer than a brother. We definitely can say that Jesus Christ sticks closer. We can say that. But don't you know there are some friends who are closer to some folk than their own relatives? We are living in a time and an age, there's a lot of dysfunctional families. Can I get an amen? Not just because you are relative that you guys get along. Not just because you are relatives that people think enough to come see you, to be with you. They don't know that you're living or dead because there's some dysfunctionality going on. You don't have to get quiet. I know this is true. I live in this world, been here for 63 years. And if we got family, you don't see some dysfunction. Can I get an amen? Amen. So when God says, watch this. I told you, it's just so much, I just can't tell it all. So when God speaks about friends that will stick closer to you to a brother, God is saying sometimes when you put all your emphasis and everything you need on your relative that you may can't get from your relative, you may just need to get a friend. So sometimes when they may let you down or some of that sort, and I know some of us can't understand that because you're so close to your relatives. But everybody's household is not the same. And you too live in this society. Some of you guys teach in this society. You minister to people's children. You know what's going in the home. You know what they bring to the school. Some of you guys, even when you minister in jail and these different things, a lot of this stuff started in the home. But you know what? Even when the home is not right, it should be a place for that child to go or that adult to go, where they know that that is where their friend is. You see, sometimes a friend can help the relationship with the family. Sometimes the friends can say, you know, it ain't them, it's you. See, only a friend can talk to you like nobody else can. Because there's... Look with me, and the first thing, let's look at the qualities of true friendship. And the qualities of true friendship are Proverbs 27 and verse 9. They're all through the Proverbs, and I won't read all of them. But verse 9 says, ornament and perfume delight the heart. And the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. You remember when I said that a friend can come in that realm that you protect? You know, a lot of people don't like people to enter too close in a space. What do we call that space? Personal space. Personal space. But I got news for you. When you got a true friend, they can enter right in. Say, girl, I need to talk to you. No, what you about to do is wrong. And I've seen you go this way before. No, I don't care who's telling you this is right. This thing is wrong. You know, when I went in, I did that. And you told me it was wrong. And I didn't pay you no attention. And look at the scars are still there. The grace of God brought me through, but the scars are still there. You see, God will forgive you. God will deliver you. But sometimes the scars of disobedience are still there. But a friend will break through your personal space because that friendship that was forged gave them the right to. So you gave them the right to when you really say, that's my friend. Now, I don't let anybody in. Are y'all following me? You're walking with me. All right. It says, you know, a man's friends give delight. See, we should be able to talk to one another. And when you are down, when you're burdened, when you have some tough concerns, a friend would say, you know, well, I know you haven't told anybody about this situation, but I know about it. Hey, look, I got some help for you. And sometime a friend will go on the limb and do research for you. They'll do some things, then bring it back to you because they love you just that much. You see, so understand now, if I got a friend and I'm about to step over in some stuff I don't need to be involved with, but I have convinced myself because in my flesh, I want to do that. And I'm not listening to nobody. I'm not listening to the preacher. Surely ain't gonna listen to him. I'm not listening to the deacon, the choir leader. I'm just not listening to mama, daddy, or Lottie or Dottie. I'm not listening to anybody. And watch this now. You see how frightful that is when they're not listening to anybody and they don't have a friend. See, because a friend will come and says, okay, mm-hmm. You told that stuff to your husband. You told that stuff to your wife. You said that, hey, come here, I'm watching you. I know that thing tore you up. And not only that, not only did it tore you up, you about to do some revenge. No, you talking to me. Anybody ever been like that? You talking to me now. No. What you about to do, you about to make this thing worse, not better. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. I see your lip trembling. I see your eye shaking. I see your hand, all those things. And I've seen it before. And I've seen it just before you begin to create some disaster in your own life. But as a friend, I want to counsel you that it be a delight to you. Do you get it? See, it should be like perfume. It should smell sweet. I mean, even sometimes God says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes I may have to cut you a little bit. I don't want to hurt you. I want to prune you that you can get some air in that thing, that you can grow. There's some nourishment from the word of God, from the people of God, from your situation. Because sometimes you think you see your whole situation and therefore you make a decision on seeing the whole situation as you think. But let me tell you something, only God sees the whole. You see partial of the picture and you make a decision. God sees all of it. So when you got a godly friend that can say, hey, look here. And then sometimes you still want to be stubborn. You know what? You bark, you cry. I may even get hot with you, but I ain't going nowhere. Because you're my friend. we don't even know God speak about friends. We just want this and this and this and that. And no, when God bring up a subject, God is trying to correct us. God is trying to lead us. God is trying to disciple us. God is trying to mold and shape us in the image of his son. So when he tells you a friend, now if you don't have one, you know, everybody's associate. I can't trust anybody. Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. Because three things I want to give you, the qualities of a friend. One, they have the ability to keep confidences. See, one of the things, if you tell everything that I tell you, we ain't gonna be friends too long. Especially if I told you something I haven't told nobody else is personal. I just needed to share that. You know, there's a little story about three men going fishing and three church folk. And they got out on the water, y'all may have heard this, in the boat fishing and talking. And three of them fishing and talking. And one said, you know, you guys are my friend, and I got a problem. He said, well, what's your problem, bro? I got a problem with the women. You know, I'm running women, man. But I just want to share that. But it's bothering me because, you know, I'm trying to stop or whatever like that. But I'm having problems running women. And so the other one said, okay, he don't open up like that. And that's tight. We out here, but three of us, so we supposed to be friends. So the second one said, you know what? I might well confess, too. I got problems stealing the church money. You know, every now and then I put my hand in, and I don't really give nothing. I palm a little piece like I'm putting it in the plate. You know, let's drop it and don't stick your hand way down because I don't know how you palming and folding and coming out with it. He said, but that's what I do. Now these three church people. Now, all of a sudden, now, you know, if two of us, we done said some stuff like that and we all supposed to be friends, we're waiting, right? We turn it because we don't let all that out. And he ain't saying nothing. He ain't saying nothing. Now, you're going to say something. Because that's heavy. Still ain't said nothing. Stop laughing at me, Tracy. Ain't said nothing. No, you gonna say something. It's three of us. We done spilled our guts. I know you gotta hang up too. Ain't nobody perfect. Yeah, I got one too. I can't hold nothing, roll me in. I tell everything that I heard. I got a problem with gossip. roll me in. Now he may not reach the show. Because he's gonna do some damage. Now the only reason they spilt their guts like that because they thought that they were friends. And see, my point I'm saying, if you're going to be a friend, you got to learn how to hold things in confidence. If a person, if people want to tell you some things, there's some things, just leave it between you and them. You got to just leave it there. You know, and don't go around talking about it and everybody know who you're talking about. You know, I ain't calling no name. Yes, you are. I can really call the person name. I'm not going to do it. Stop it. If you got a problem with that, stop counseling people. Stop it. You can't help yourself. You got to come back and tell somebody. And don't even know you got that problem. Roll me in. Now, I don't know if he made it back or not, because the boy said, it was two against one. If he take this back to the church. Okay, so you, if you're going to be a friend, you must have the ability to keep some confidence. Now, there are some things that you may hear and you may say, look here and say, oh, you need to do something about that. There are some things that you need to take care of. Maybe even some things that, hey, you even may need to bring the law in, but you do that. There are some things that the law don't need to be involved, whatever like that, but there are some things that a friend may tell you that it's not an open sin. I mean, that's something that's open. See, when someone get pregnant, that's why we call that open, because you can't hide that baby. We know you ain't married and you got a baby. That's open. That's one of the open sins. Okay? Now, here's the point. But there are some things where here's the thing. You know people are doing to get to have a baby. Yeah, but I don't know that unless you tell me. And then folk ain't telling you all of that. But they may tell a friend. You tell them, ask the Lord to forgive them and move on, but you keep that between you and them. You follow what I'm saying? If you're their friend, you cover it, you work with it, you tell them the right thing to do, you counsel them right. But let me tell you something, it's going to be hard to keep a friend and you can't keep your mouth closed. See, God say a whisperer, that's a gossiper, say he separate friend. You follow what I'm saying? So a lot of times, here's another thing. You see somebody evil all the time, 24/7. I wonder why I don't have no friend. I know. In order to have friends, the Bible says, you must show yourself friendly. I didn't say that. Man, let me tell you something. You don't show yourself friendly. There's no premium on being evil. A friend should be able to tell a friend that. And if they love the word of God and they see it in the word of God, they just say, thank you, man. Matter of fact, pray for me in that area. Because, see, I want to do what this says, not what I want. Okay? Let's move on. So did you get all three of those? Oh, do you want the other two? June, do you want them? Okay, all right. Let me stay here and stop walking. You know, I'm going to try to stay away from the props. I'm going to try to stay right here. Okay, the second one, they have the courage to be loyal to you. It's nothing like having someone, you know, fair weather friends, when you're doing okay, you didn't make no mistake, you didn't, they leave you fast. You know, when you may be in Maury Clay, when they say, okay, yesterday you were clean, but today I'm dirty. I fell down and saw my clothes. A friend will say, I'll pick you up again and I'll brush you off. I'll talk with you, I'll work with you. See, because why you keep doing this? When I keep messing up, you keep doing it because I'm your friend. I know others not going to do it. I know folk ain't patient with you. But see, one of the things about a friend, they are patient. See, that's why you shouldn't give your friendship so freely, so easily. You can't do that because what you may be calling a friend is just an associate. See? And in some cases, like I say, there are some dysfunctional families, but there are also some functioning families. There's sometimes the family members are their best friends. I mean, truly, they are friends. You know, so it doesn't mean that because we are family, we can't be friends too. You follow what I'm saying? Everything don't have to be dysfunctional because there is some are. And let me tell you something that's true. You could be dysfunctional last year and this new year become functional. I don't have to stay in the condition that I found myself yesterday. Because if God give me a new day, I know what comes married with the new mercies. New graces. And you know what? Sometimes we need to take advantage of the new graces. And the reason God supply it fresh every day, because he don't want you to run out. You don't supply. That's why he did the manna that fell. He said, look, don't gather it up. I'll let it rot on you. I'm going to give it to you every day, because I want you to depend on me for your daily bread. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. So God says, I'm going to make sure every morning I'm going to get together a fresh batch of mercies. And as I send the day, I'm going to send the mercies with it. But sometimes God is sending the mercies, y'all just leave it alone. You know when your check coming? I mean, some of y'all, everybody got direct deposit now, right? You used to have to wait for the mailman. Didn't you? Huh? You had to wait for the mailman. He ran a little late. Jack, you seen him? No, I ain't seen him. Everybody at the mailbox waiting on that check. I guess now y'all go on your phone and go on your account and see, is it in there? You still go check it, don't you? You do check it, don't you? Huh? You check it, don't you? Hey, payday the 15th, the 1st, or whenever. Hey, it's in there. You may be at a grocery store. So I don't know if I can do this yet until I see it. Oh, you go. Hey, instead of buying $25 for groceries, give me $150. What has happened? Once you knew the money was in the bank, you wrote the check. Or you swiped the card. Watch this, y'all. Once you know the mercy have a rose on each new morning, why don't you swipe the mercy card? Why don't you write the mercy check? Oh. See, don't worry about, I need everything God give me. Pastor, if you could show me that in the Bible, I need everything, my God, my Lord, my Savior, because he's my friend. He's my best friend. So let me tell you, sometimes some of the things we go through and suffer with, you've never found a good friend. Those that said they were your friend, they weren't loyal to you. They were fair weather. When you were nasty, they left you and kept getting up. But when that friendship, and let me tell you something too. When you get a good friend, prize those individuals. Because the Bible does. Isn't that enough right there if the Bible does? Isn't that enough? If God's word does, is that enough for you out there? Okay. Did I give you all three? Oh, one more, sister, one more. Okay, let me give you the next one. Well, you know, I talked about that one, but I didn't state it. I went into it, so I'll just state it. They have deep affection for you. Man, it's nothing like knowing. You know, I used the illustration about Lance going to Richmond and he on the interstate broke down. And then all of a sudden he sees his daddy pull up behind him. He feels safe. He know he got help and all of that. But it's the same thing if you out here in the snow. And I don't like driving in the snow. Your car break down. My car, I had ran out of gas right on the interstate. Like you're heading toward Calvary. I was out there by myself and trying to call my sons and all of my work. That's a lonely feeling. I was trying to make it to the station, and I shouldn't have went on the interstate. And boop. And I'm out there. I say, what in the world I'm looking like out here? I don't have a can, and everybody at work, and I'm calling. Well, I'll get there later, but then I got to say, I don't want to walk. And I don't want to be in the car. So, but when you got a friend, I remember when Sister Duncan and Pastor Ashburn and we was doing the noonday Bible study, and they left early for some reason. I stayed around the church, and they were heading through the Midtown Tunnel, and they ran out of gas on the interstate. Now there is Pastor Ashburn, Sister Duncan, you know, and her sister, all of them on that interstate, and the cars just passing. And they called me. I was still at the church. I said, I'll be right there. I went in the little house because we got a gas can. And I know how to get in. I got in the house. I said, look, right there. Now I'm rushing. I stopped at the station, got their gas. And he out there just talking. Them cars come by. I said, no, you stand around here, General. I got this. You know, you watch the cars. But don't you stand right here talking to me. You know. But I was, he knew in the time of his distress with them two ladies on that interstate, who can I call? Who can I call that's available? Who can I call that's not only available, but I know they'll come. If they get the Macedonia call, they'll come to me. Pastor Ricks, boom. Are y'all following me? He said, he'll come. Not only would he come, He's going to bring everything that's needed when he get there. So I'm saying it's good to, do you have a friend like that? Do you have someone you can call on when you find yourself in a strait? When you find yourself in a situation that you don't want to tell nobody else? Sometimes you don't want to tell mama about it. You don't want to tell daddy about it. You don't want to tell wife or husband about it. Do you have a friend that you feel that you know that those friends will be loyal to you? They have deep affection for you, and they can hold things in confidence. Do you have one like that? If you do, why don't you cherish that person? Why don't you every now and then say, you know, because the Bible speaks so highly of friends and the quality of friends, you know what, I will too. I will speak the same thing the Word of God speaks. Okay, let's move on. So we see that, but not only that, but let's look at what hinders real friendship. See, you may want to be someone's friend, you may want a friend, but there are things that hinder friendship. Look with me, and we're still in Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs 22. Am I making any sense? Okay, then. I don't want to be talking and nobody's getting it. Proverbs 22, 24 and 25. Okay, so if you're looking at what it takes to be a friend, and you're not willing to keep your mouth closed, you're not willing to love somebody, be affectionate toward them, well then, they're not going to be your friend. But look at this, what God says. Make no friendship with an angry man. Remember I spoke about always evil, always nasty, and you think that's a premium of salvation. It's not. You see, at some point, Jesus should make you glad. At some point, Jesus should bring some joy in your life. I know situations don't. I know they can hurt you. But if you're born again, Jesus just ought to make a difference in your life. Like I did got two amens. Okay. All right. But watch this. God said there are some people don't make friendship with. And with a furious man, do not go. In other words, don't even hang out with them. Don't even hang out. You'll get yourself in trouble. You are this football player that played for the is it Hernandez? For the New England Patriots that's in all this trouble. You see all those folk that hung around him, and some say because his father died and the people he's accused of killing and all that group, and the guy that spilt a drink, he killed, all these things that he's accused of, that guy was an angry man. I don't know what made him angry like that. You can kill a man because he spilled a drink, or all this stuff that you accuse of so many. I don't know what caused the problem, but you got a problem. When you find out some folk got problems, the Word of God said don't go with them, don't hang with them. And sometimes they think mama just trying to get in my business. Daddy trying to pick my friend. No, God trying to pick your friend. God says, don't go with them. They going to cause you trouble. You get in more trouble you can't get out of. They may have you rooting, tooting, and shooting, robbing, and killing. And I tell you, sometimes we have went with some people and found ourselves doing some things. Had not we went with them, we wouldn't have been doing. You don't have to say what it is. But walk with me through the Word of God today. We want to walk through the Word. Is that all right? See, I need to leave out here knowing what God is saying. I need all of that. I need the whole counsel. So I can say, you know what? Okay, right now, we're not talking about this, but we're just talking about a friend. Now I know how to identify a friend. Oh, you call me, you ain't my friend because you're not affectionate toward me. In other words, you don't care about me. You don't care nothing about me. Matter of fact, you're supposed to be my friend. There's some things I can't tell you because I'm afraid you haven't proved yourself to me. You haven't been tried and proven that you are loyal. You have the ability to keep your mouth closed. Let me move on. What hinders Proverbs 16:28. That is unsolicited gossip. You remember the guy say, my problem is gossip. Roll me in. No, we're going to throw you overboard. We're going to do a Jonah with you. You're going out of this boat. Proverbs 16:28. Okay, you put it up there for me. It says here, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisper separate the best of friends. So if you're going to tell all my business, whisper has the same meaning or idea as gossiper. If you're going to tell all my business to everybody, lottie and dottie, we're going to separate. God said, when you pick up these qualities and you're supposed to be my friend, we ain't going to be best friends no more. I didn't say that. Didn't the Bible say that, y'all? The Bible said we're going to separate. Anybody here agree? Okay, so God even tell us who is a good friend and the qualities of a good friend, but God also tell us the ones to stay away from. And when I disobey the word of God and don't stay away from them, then I'm going to find myself in trouble. Also, bad temper, we looked at that. That was 22:25. We didn't read that, didn't we? Did I read the whole thing, make no friends with an angry man? Yeah, I read all of that. Okay, so also a hard-hearted person. Proverbs 3:28. You know when I knock on your door, you got 20 loaves of bread because you went to the bakery and you got 20 loaves right on your table. And I knock on your door as your friend, as your neighbor, and I ask you, me and my family, we're hungry. Could I have a loaf of bread? And you got it sitting right there by you, and you decide to say, you know, God says, do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. I mean, why do I have to go when I'm hungry right now? And you got 20 loaves of bread on your table, and I'm your neighbor, and I'm in desperate need. Evidently, you ain't my friend because you don't feel me. You don't feel for me. You are not affectionate toward me. So I can't call you friend because you're hard-hearted. So here's another thing. Don't make friends with a hard-hearted person. Because, see, sometimes you watch people hard-hearted toward other people. Then all of a sudden, I want to be a friend with them. No, you don't. The word is out on them. What you mean, Pastor? The word is out on them. Ain't none of my colleagues speaking about them. No, the word is out of them in the word of God. See, the word of God outs them. You see, a lot of times we don't pay no attention to the word of God. If my colleagues and my peers don't out people, they don't put them on blast, then they're all right with me. But why about when God put them on blast? Mighty quiet there. You know, sometimes when God put folk on blast, it's never like God, don't do that, because once you do that, I know some folk like this. And God, I still want to go with them. Because God, I really have fun when I'm with them. You know, I know they're evil, they're angry, but I have a good time with them because they're the life of the party. So what you are saying then, God is saying, what you're saying to me, my child, I don't know what I'm talking about. Also what you are saying to me, that I'm not looking out for your welfare. You are saying that I don't care for you. God is saying many times I will warn you before the destruction. I will warn you before the disease. I will warn you before you get yourself in trouble and you can't get a good job because you got a record now. I will warn you. But don't wait for humanity to put somebody on blast that you would know about the qualities of the individual. When God do it, it should be enough. Because what you got to say, you got to elevate the word of God above the mouth of man. And our problem as Christians, we do not value this book, so therefore when God puts somebody on blast, we don't pay no attention as long as humanity don't do it. But I tell you, it's time out this year for that. This is the beginning of a new year. One of the things we should say, I want to listen more to God than I did last year. Because I don't have to guess whether he got my back. See, some of y'all, you say you got my back, but I don't know. That may be one of the fair weather things. But if I get in trouble, you still got my back, or you going to let me go? You going to run from me? You ain't going to help me? You ain't going to be there for me? But I'm going to tell you something. God has a reason for putting certain people, certain qualities of people, certain folks' habits and conditions and things that they do. God has a right, because he created everybody. And God does that we may love. God says, hear. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. See, sometimes, whether mama said, daddy said, or you said, if the word of God said. And I tell you what, check God out. Check his record out and see how many times you can find him wrong. Check the other people. Rock it out that you listen to and see how many times they have made some mistakes or they were wrong about some situation. And then compare the two. God number of wrongs and my best friend who's robbing people, breaking in people's houses, stealing copper out of air conditioning at churches and everywhere. I still want to hang with him. Yeah, I hope you're not hanging with him and they steal the air conditioning out of New Berean. Because everybody fingerprints that was stealing this air conditioning, that's who the law going to arrest. I'll come see you. And I'll tell you this. You were in here. This is just an example. Because I know y'all wouldn't do nothing like that. Oh, I lost my thought messing around with y'all. Now, what I would say to you, if you were in here, and that's a little scenario, and you would do that, I said, you know, you were here that Sunday when God put them folk who steal air conditioning from churches on blast. And I told you, If your friends didn't put them on blast, you still were going to go with them. And they came right back here to your church, driving. Matter of fact, you told them, I know where that church is. I hope you ain't their member. Because I think your membership gone. No, we'll work with you. I just put you under Alvin Jones for tooling. Oh, I'm having a good time with this. I'm having a good time, but I got to go. I got to go. Sister Doris, how you doing? Sister Doris, you bless my heart just seeing you in here today. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I asked about you. She said, she's still here? I said, okay. Oh, boy. You got my back, don't you? All right. Okay. Let me move on. Okay. So hard-hearted. A bad temper, unsolicited gossip, but okay. But let's look and see what Jesus Christ, as our best friend, what he has for us. You know, in 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and in verse 7, it reads, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? That's the part. I want you to even see God, a word speaking about, he called Abraham his friend. And now in the Chronicles, not only is he's God's friend, but how long will he be God's friend? The Bible says God's friend forever. So the Abrahamic covenant that was made, how God would bless the whole universe, you know, through Jesus Christ that's connected to Abraham, but also the Jews, the patriarch Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all those blessings, those covenant blessings that God has for his people. But here's the point. He has those covenant blessings for the people because Chronicles say because the patriarch, the father, Abraham, was a friend of God and forever a friend of God. But guess what? We are friend of God too in Jesus Christ our Lord. So let's look at John 15, 13. We're gonna come on off because y'all been very good. And if you get one thing, that's okay. If you didn't get the rest, if you got one out of it. John chapter 15, verse 13 through 15. Says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. I got to read this other part too. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Oh, man. These things I command you, that you love one another. You see, if I'm going to love people, I'm going to love my brothers in Christ, and I have a command, I have a mandate to love you, you know, somebody's going to become my friend. If I'm doing what the Word of God says about loving one another, there's a one another thing going on that God wants us to do. Love one another, love one another, love one another, help one another. If that thing is going on like God said, I'm going to get me some friends out of that. Are you following me? And remember I talked about that personal space? Jesus said, I'm going to move you from servant to friend. See, and then he says there's some things that a servant don't know about his Lord, but there's some things I will reveal to a friend, whatever my Father's telling me, because now that you're my friend, now that you have moved to another level in my life, there are some information now I will give you prior to moving to this position you didn't have privy to. Didn't you say that, Sister Tracy? Let me tell you something. When you're a friend of God, you got privy to some information. Those who are not a friend of God, the wrath of God is still upon them because they haven't received Christ as their Savior. You got privy to some information that God is relaying through the Word of God. Your spirit now should be jumping for joy because see, you can discern what I'm preaching. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You can throw out what's not of God. But you also can hold tight what is of God because you have the Holy Spirit who is your teacher. See, the unsaved can't discern the Word of God because they are spiritual. But being that you are spiritual, you're no longer a servant, but you are a friend of God forever and ever and ever. You need to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you today through the Word of God. Anybody with me? I don't need but one. Let's I'm going to give you three things that I'm coming off. Well, what do I have, Pastor, now that I have Christ as my friend. One, you will experience unconditional love. 1 John 3:1. Not only that, you will discover purpose in your life. You see, God calls his people because God has a plan for his people and God has a purpose for his people. And you can see that in Jeremiah 29 and 11. God has a way, God has a way of showing you some things that will blow your mind. And I'm telling you, I want to read that one, Jeremiah 29 and 11. Jeremiah 29 and 11. I'm not going to read all of them. You can read them, but I'm going to get ready to come on off because I think you guys are tired of me now. 29 and 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says who? The Lord, the covenant-making Yahweh, Jehovah. Thoughts of what? Understand that, thoughts of peace. And not of what? Evil. To give you what? Future and a what? A hope." You see, when I know that Jesus is my best friend, then I know my purpose for life, that purpose that he has for me. Also, you will have a daily counselor, John 16, 13. It's called the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. For I know the thoughts that I have. You know, I am glad that God wrote this love letter to us. Because it's one thing in Jeremiah 29, 11, it's one thing for God to have all of these thoughts. You know, God has a lot of thoughts. He don't reveal to us. Am I right about it? That's what makes him God. But when God has a thought toward me, Ronnie, a thought for me or about me, I want him to reveal that to me. So I thank God for the love letter of the Bible. Because in it, God reveals, he unveils what he wants me to know. I just got to believe it. I just got to trust him. If you're in here and you have never received Christ as your Savior, I know what God wants for you. God wants you to get saved today. Do I have one? You say, preacher, I believe the same thing, that he wants me to come to him. I'm not going to put it off anymore. I'm going to get out of my seat, and I'm coming to Jesus.